Mother Man.
Hi, this is Mark Condon. You're listening to Murder Metal Mayhem. Let's put out some bombs for Jesus.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Mayhem!
Well, what the fuck's up?
Yeah, it is Tuesday, and we're throwing down a brand new Murder Metal Mayhem. We're here in Horns High Studios for the Horns High Podcast Network, episode 240. I can't believe it, Chris. Yeah, we are getting... almost real close.
Almost
250, man.
250 would be good.
Another milestone, man. Pretty impressive shit. So I'm here with Chris in Horns High, and Joey, you're over there in the 419 in Toledo. What's up, dude?
Not much. Fucking chilling.
Home of Tony Paco's. I'm about ready to try some of that shit. I'm anxious. The menu, the pictures of the menu look really fucking good. So I'm stoked to try it.
Chris went there when he was out here.
Yeah, that's what he said. It was great. Good. So definitely looking forward to it and doing some visiting. And so that's awesome. Chris, what about your shirt over there?
The shirt I got on underneath the hoodie is the Ted Bundy shirt Joey gave me.
Oh, nice.
But the hoodie, funny story, I couldn't find any of my fucking hoodies. It's cold this yesterday morning. I'm going to work and it's fucking cold. And I'm like, I need a hoodie. So I'm looking around. My daughter's got all my hoodies, but
of course,
my daughter left her Metallica hoodie. So I'm wearing my daughter's fucking hoodie.
Oh,
fuck
shit.
That.
Okay.
So, all right. So I got my daughter's Metallica Justice for All.
All right.
It's like
they were sweet. They were still good back then. They
right?
were still good.
Oh, yeah. I was like, fuck that. These kids be stealing my clothes all the time. I'm wearing this shit.
You might as well. Fuck. What about you, Joey?
I'm wearing the Lascivious shirt, which this was a brutal death metal band from Austin, Texas. So I figured since we're going down there today,
yeah,
I'll fucking rock this shit.
Dude, I've been like struggling to try to read that. I just
oh, it's can't. A rough one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one, dude. That's straight up death metal logo there. But
dude, it was a one man band too, and the guy did all instruments, like real drums and all that shit.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was really fucking good, like amazing. I put out the only thing he ever released.
Yeah, that album was bad.
Yeah, amazing. But then he ended up like moving on and doing like noise type stuff, which he still does to this day. And he does a bunch of like gore grind stuff down there in Austin, Texas. So he's very active down there.
Yeah.
But Lascivious was like, I think he was in high school when he did it or whatever.
Oh,
but man,
wow.
It was fucking pretty mind-blowing shit.
Oh, that's badass. That's badass.
Yeah, but he did the logo too, which it's fucking super hard to read. Yeah.
It definitely is. And I got my Dying Fetus shirt on today. I wore it to the Dollar General, and the lady checking me out was kind of trying to read it, but I knew she couldn't, so I thought I was all right with this one. If it was the other Dying Fetus shirt, it was very clearly visible.
Yeah, with the block letters.
With the block lettering, that would have been a dead giveaway, but nonetheless, that's what I'm wearing tonight. Well, very good. As we hitting milestones here, approaching another one, pretty awesome. Now, last week we did the fucked up story of Mr. Phil Spector, legendary music promoter or producer from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. So, 30 years of just
banging out hits,
just cranking it out. I mean, unbelievable. But then he murders actress Lana Clarkson in his mansion, or his castle, in 2003. And it's this crazy story about this fucking dude with the fucking obsession with guns, shooting them in the studio, terrorizing people, women, men. It was a good one. I mean, it's a fucked up one. So definitely go check that out. And I did the metal feature on something a little bit different, a hoax perpetrated by the band Threaten. So, that was kind of wild.
And speaking of that hoax, Cashman had brought up the whole thing about the football team. Was it the football team?
Oh, did you check that out?
Michael was listening to it. He's like,
oh,
hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's the name of it. The name of the school was Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah.
And the team was the Centurions, and they were supposedly out of Columbus, Ohio. I guess there's an HBO.
So there was no team then? I mean,
no,
no. There was a team, but there wasn't an actual school that backed them.
Oh, okay. It was,
yeah, and the coach, he was just like some fucking, he masterminded this whole shit to get himself on ESPN and all that shit. He got the kids up there. But like anything that was promised to these kids, they didn't get shit out of it, you know? And yeah, it was kind of a sad deal, and he's kind of like, if you watch the documentary, the dude's just like pretty much an asshole about it.
Yeah, wow. Michael said the doc's on HBO.
Oh, yeah. HBO. Yeah. Okay. That's the one I don't get. All so right. I'll have to wait. So, yeah, that was a good one. And then did some mayhem for you, shared a disgusting story called Everything But the Bowl. So you'll have to go back and listen to that one. And we had a great all-female killer cage match, fucking Sugar Babe fucking showing up there, and just the usual stupidity. And we were hitting 800 to that one, past 800 today, so thank you. And if you missed it, go on and listen to episode 239. So tonight, as Joey said, we're going down to Texas for a case that was suggested by none other than Tex
of
our
course.
Buddy Hell, who yeah. comes on to
that's
talk
a
to
lie
us.
That's not what happened. I had a group message and I asked Tex if he was down there when this case went on, because I was talking about it.
Okay.
And he was like, and he said yeah, and I said we should do this one if y'all were interested, and then everyone
okay.
Well, I have taken
corrected.
My credit for this one. But,
I stick directed.
But Tex is he is located where it happens, so that's why it's so cool though.
Of course. But no, that I forgot about that. You're correct. So I stand corrected.
And Tex will be with us.
And he is. He's warming up in the bullpen, throwing some 100-mile-an-hour heaters to get himself warmed up. And
Astros down there, right? Aren't them motherfuckers in the fucking
Yeah, but they're down
right
two games to none to the Rangers. So, yeah. So
they should have brought Tex in.
Two Texas teams. That's pretty interesting, two Texas teams. But 23-year-old Mark Condit is this piece of shit who terrorized Austin, Texas, in March of 2018 with random bombs he placed all over the city, killing, maiming, some harsh shit, man. Trip wires, and he's fucked up. And this manhunt to catch this dude and stop this craziness was intense. And we're going to do that for you coming up here next in the murder segment, so you don't want to miss that. Chris, you got the horns tonight. What did you decide to do?
I decided,
man?
I was going to do the band First Blood.
So fucking, not the movie,
not,
the Rambo
movie?
Not the
fucking goddamn Stallone movie, no. But the band, First Blood.
All right, that's cool. And I'm curious to hear about stuff I'm not familiar with. And I got a good Lost Classic for us tonight, and some updates on the 666 Seconds of Metal that is coming to the YouTube channel. All that and some metal news, and we'll do it, of course, in the metal segment coming up. So keep listening. Speaking of the metal segment, go on and check out that YouTube channel for a video of the metal segment we posted from episode 238. Joey, that was cool with Decrypt.
Yeah, yep. I was fucking stoked on that. I was watching the video, and it came out really good.
Yeah, it did come out really good. And I actually used the audio from Zoom in that one. It sounded so good. You sounded good. I was going to come in and bring in your stuff, and I was like, well, it sounds fine to me. I mean, I was impressed with how it turned out. So anyway, yeah, so that's cool. So you got to get on that YouTube channel, because we are posting content on there, and we'll be doing a lot more of it. So go on. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe and then like the videos, so you keep seeing them when we do new stuff. All right, we are throwing down a brand new killer cage match, and that's where we get a list of 100 killers, 100 objects for them to fight with, a variable in the cage, and a song cranking the fuck out while they fight till death. It's always a blast. We get our listeners involved by picking these random numbers. Chris?
Tonight we have our good friend fucking Jeff Ignatowski.
Oh, yeah.
We have Colin 815 Posse Rogers.
Nice to see him back.
Yes, yes. And we got the queen of the 419, fucking Miss Peggy Sue.
Hell yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all. And we got a great battle going on tonight, Joey. Got a one familiar face and one not so familiar.
Yeah.
And one of those familiar faces is over my left-hand shoulder.
That's right.
I'm looking at him right there.
Yep. but that's Jim Jones and his fucking Kool-Aid lipstick. And then he's going to go up against Myra Hindley. Yeah, we haven't seen her up in the fucking match.
No, and that's going to be interesting because she was pretty bad. I mean, a badass bitch, although they were killing kids and stuff. But, so.
And she is on her own now, too. So
that's true. Yeah. So we'll see. Because, Chris, the objects can always make
make a difference.
Yeah, makes a big difference. And, of course, the variable can also do the same. And then the song.
Some jamming tunes.
On that 666-watt PA system, they may be just, like, so enraged because they hate the song playing and it makes them want to kill more. Or they might get into the song and want to fucking like get inspired, and do killing. So it can change it up. So you got to keep listening to that. We'll do it, of course, in the Mayhem segment. So don't miss that.
Yeah.
Huge thanks to everybody that listens to us. We do appreciate it. Keep telling people about it. Love seeing those comments when people talk about, oh, I heard about it from a guy at work or that kind of thing. That's awesome. So tell people. This week we were down 100. We're 2,800 from last week's 2,900, but we still appreciate it and just keep on doing what you do, and we'll keep doing what we do. All right?
Yeah.
Top 10 cities listening to us, Chris. What's the breakdown this week,
man? Yeah. Number one, we got Chicago.
Hell yeah.
Number two is Clinton, Illinois. Then we got Brisbane, Queensland, Australia coming in at number three. Number four is Normal, Illinois.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, number five. Pittsburgh, Mississippi, fucking six. Seven is Sedaris, Illinois. Then Honolulu, Hawaii, at number eight. Fuck yeah. And fucking Laurel, Maryland.
Yeah,
Maryland. I'm sorry. I'm fucking weird with fucking state abbreviations. Laurel, Maryland is at nine. And then number 10 is Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Fuck yeah, man. That's awesome. And, you know, I know we always say Chicago's number one and we just kind of grow through. We appreciate everybody that listens, but Chicago, for fuck's sake, you guys have been number one almost the entire 5.5 years we've been doing this. So thank you very, very much. All of you, but especially Chicago has just been there, man, since the fucking beginning. So thanks.
Remember that one random time that Cleveland was number one?
Yeah, there's been a few, but they're always short-lived, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that because we always just say Chicago's number one because it always is. But I wanted to call them out because we appreciate it. And then, Joey, what about the countries listening?
U.S. was 79%, and then after that we got Australia was 7%, Canada with 3%, and then 1%ers are Sweden, Germany, the United Kingdom, Taiwan, Czechia, Denmark, and France.
Hell yeah. Very, very cool. So we love seeing those overseas listens. That's just really neat to see the different countries. So again, we appreciate it, guys. And check out our website, murdermetalmayhem.com, getting ready to do more updates. Already been doing stuff, but adding even more to it. So you definitely want to see that. Going to do a page for the 666 seconds. And so that'll be cool. And try to do some giveaways, try to get people fired up about that. So,
fuck yeah.
All right, Chris.
Joey, what are you smoking on, bro?
You know what? I'm in the boat you were in where I don't actually know the name of this, but I will shout out. I got this from my homie Johnny Dolan up in fucking Lansing, Michigan. He grows this, but Chris, you remember, he's the super boof. Remember I brought that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy that grew that, but he's my Lansing connect, so every time I fucking see him at a show or know he's going to be somewhere, I'm like, hey, bring me a fucking bag.
Up, bro.
Yep. But he came out to the show this weekend here in Toledo and brought that. So I don't know what it is, but it's fucking fire as hell.
Hell yeah.
What about you?
I ain't smoking on shit today. I fucking God forgot my weed at home.
All right.
Well, I'm drinking these beers, though.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Well, guys, we got a lot on our plate tonight. Going to take a little trip south. Going to pick up old Tex along the way. And we're going to be in a race to see if we can defuse those bombs in Austin.
So, fuck Chris, yeah, let's get our fucking metal on, yo.
Our metal on?
Oh, yeah, murder.
Boom!
I just blew that.
Son of a bitch, yeah, man. Definitely dig that. Eradicated from Sweden. Holy shit, those guys are good. Sounds like some fucking old school Exodus with a little Metallica, like old Metallica, like Ride the Lightning.
It's pretty fucking sweet.
It's fucking amazing. And that song is called Flames. They've got videos for, I think, several of the songs from this album. It's unbelievable. The album's called Descendants. Every track is good. I really dig them. There's even a song on there that reminds me of something like off Seasons in the Abyss. So even a little Slayer in there. I mean, really, really, really cool. And young dudes, too. They're on tour right now in Europe with Soilwork. So go check them out if you're over there. All right, we got the one and only Tex with us tonight. How's it going, dude?
Oh, it's going pretty well, man. It has finally cooled down here in Texas.
Oh, shit.
Cooled down fucking here. Jesus.
Yeah, it's gotten pretty chilly here. Hoodie weather down here, up here. So.
Oh, yeah, it is here, too. 60s in the mornings and 70s, 80s for the highs. So yeah. It's definitely hoodie and shorts weather down here.
Interesting. So, yeah, that's good that you got a little bit of relief because – shit, it was like, I think a couple times in a row we're talking to you and you're like, dude, it's over 100 degrees here. And wow, I mean, that's fucking hot.
Yeah, that's so brutal.
Glad you're out of that.
Yeah, it was constant for a while, man.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right, well, tonight, talking about terrible, we are going to be talking about the fucked up story of Mark Condit, a serial bomber in Austin, Texas, March of 2018. And this is a story that literally gripped the fucking city. I mean, random bombs going off. Two people, innocent people, are murdered, injured several others with these package bombs. Then he's doing a fucking tripwire that could have very easily killed anybody. Children, yeah. Anybody walking on just a sidewalk in the neighborhood. So fucked up, just crazy. The cops are combing the city to catch this guy. At first, they think it's racially motivated, but then it proved that was wrong. And what a wild ending to this one. So we are going to share this one with you tonight and dig in deep because this is going to be an interesting tale. But Tex, I mean, you were in that general area at the time. So, I mean, just to start things off, I mean, kind of paint the picture, man. What was that like? With this happening, this went on for several weeks, two or three weeks, I think this went on.
Yeah, they called it the 19 days of terror. We actually do live in the area, and it didn't really start with Mark Condit's bombings. It started about the whole terror thing started about 2 years before.
Oh,
because they had it was a weird time in the Austin area between like 2016 and 2018. During this time, there was a 60-year-old dude named Patrick Johnson. He was, get this, man, he was standing on overpasses over I-35 and chunking rocks down at vehicles.
Oh, my God.
He put this one chick in a coma for a while, and she has, like, permanent brain damage. And the way they finally caught up with that dude was every time that the police would get a call about this shit, he was the one either calling or he'd be at the scene.
Oh, shit.
Really? Yeah, so, you know, yeah, trying to play Good Samaritan and shit. So that was going on. Wow. He finally got 40 years for that. So he's in a Texas prison somewhere. I haven't looked him up yet, but yeah, 19 Days of Terror in March of 2018 with Condit. So yeah, man, these bombings, they seem to come out of nowhere, completely random. It was pretty tense for a while. So yeah,
I can imagine. And got to be fucking wall to wall on the news down there. I mean, it probably was, you know, wall to wall everywhere, but there especially, people just, you know, on talk shows, you know, everything, radio, TV, just relentless.
Yep.
Social media era. So, you know, any of that. So that is definitely some scary shit. I mean, and Chris, anytime you're dealing with a serial bomber, you know, people are obviously going to be freaked out. I mean,
of course, especially they're just fucking random. Like, people scared to come out of their houses and walk in. Just,
right.
And especially being packages, you're not going to want to touch shit. Like, oh, man.
Exactly. I mean, had you heard about this one?
Honestly, I probably did, but I didn't know much. I didn't know about it, no.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it, but it was kind of, you know, I don't know. This was when I was starting to kind of phase myself out of watching the news regularly because it was getting me too angry. I just stopped watching it. So a lot of the stuff that's happened since then, I mean, yeah, the bigger stuff I'm going to hear about, and obviously this is a big deal there, but up here with Chicago being like fucking 20 fucking dead every weekend, you know, it's like, whatever, you know, hold my beer kind of shit with the way these fucking people are in Chicago, you know, for fuck's sake.
See that fucking shit up there, that 77-year-old dude stabbing that 6-year-old like fucking 20 times?
No.
It was like the landlord of the house.
I saw that.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Jesus fucking Christ. Crazy, dude. Wow, that is crazy. Joey, what about you? How familiar were you with this one?
I followed this one pretty heavily while it was going on, just because it was so tense, and you know, like this, and then the DC snipers, and I don't know, they're just ones that I've been alive for, that with media the way it is and everything, that you were able to, like, even though I didn't live there, I was able to check in and like see updates and what was going on, and like you know, as more and more shit happened, it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we did the Unabomber case, you know, and you're talking about very random, but it's spread out. But this is like one city, like literally under siege. I mean, that's just, you know, that's crazy. I could, you know,
and like I said, I didn't live there, obviously. So I thought it would be cool with Tex, since, you know, we have him as such an awesome resource. I thought obviously he would have known what was going on at the time because he would have been there.
So
to hear any of the firsthand stuff, like what he just told us about the other, like, I didn't know nothing about that either leading up to it.
No,
like, that just adds to the hysteria and terror.
Right. Yep. Which is why we love having him on. We love having Shane on for those Canadian cases. And Jeff now, who's very knowledgeable about true crime. Just really awesome to have all these resources. And Joey, I mean, that's definitely, you know, the fact that it was targeted on one city, I think, makes it that much more terrifying. Now,
absolutely.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, being in that situation. Of course, I lived down there for a while after I got out of the Army, but I was back here in 94. So I left long before any of this. But hearing it from Tex, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's just invaluable. So we're not going to do a real deep dive into this fool's history, but he was born Mark Anthony Condit. He was 23 at the time. He's from Pflugerville, Texas, which is 20 miles from Austin. Funny name.
That's a great name.
And
I was wondering if you were going to say Pflugerville.
Pflugerville. Silent P. So he was raised in a very strict Christian family, the oldest of three kids. He's homeschooled, and he has this blog that is spouting some pretty conservative stuff, you know, very conservative, very against like gay marriage and things like that. And obviously that's going to draw a lot of attention to people that are the, you know, don't agree with that whole thing, you know, and so that gets, you know, people get upset, you know, nowadays with anything that deviates from, you know, what the mainstream, you know, is going for. So he was probably catching some shit, and you know, definitely, you know, should have been, you know, maybe looked at a little closer he started going more off into other things, because Tex, he was a part of this organization called Riot. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, man. It's actually a Christian rapper. I forget what his name is, but he came out with this
Carmen
album.
Carmen, I think.
Yeah, Carmen, that's what it is. It stands for, the Riot part is an album title, and it stands for Righteous Invasion of Truth. And there's a lot of survivalist groups down here in Texas that, you know, they cater to whatever your lifestyle could be.
Yeah.
But this one, Riot, they were a group of homeschoolers that got together. They went to firing ranges. They discussed how to mix dangerous chemicals and train in edge weapons tactics. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Bible studies, too, they got into.
Oh, that. Nice. Yeah. Let's make some bombs and read the Bible while we're doing it.
Yeah, man. God, guns, and Bibles. You know? And he also, he got his sister, his little sister, into it. I think her name was Cassia Schultz.
Okay.
But wow. There was no indication that she was involved in any of the bombings, but yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
That was their little militia group.
Wow. Well,
maybe not a militia group, but survivalist.
Yeah, I'm not familiar. I thought Joey might have known about that Christian rapper there, but I did not know.
No, I should have looked it up just to get some dude, flows to spit for you.
That's the whitest motherfucker. I looked him up. He is like white dude. Really white.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I didn't look him up, but yeah, that's funny. So they're of the same mindset with all that stuff, and you know that can sometimes be fine. And it can also sometimes get really wacky and much more violent. So there's definitely something a little off with this guy from all that. Certainly not saying that a person who believes in that stuff is a future serial bomber, of course. But when you add all this stuff up, it's that drip drip we talk about, you know, that turns this guy into what he actually became. He's in this super religious home, which we've seen that before with the kooky, you know, crazy religious, you know, stuff like Gein, you know, endured, and some of those guys.
Yeah.
And that tends to fuck these people up too. So you got all this stuff hitting him at once. So he moves out of his mom's house, moves in with his dad. And he had a job, but got fired 8 months before the bombings.
That gives you plenty of free time to build bombs.
Plenty. And he had no criminal record. Yes. So, the one roommate I saw in an interview, I watched another thing where they interviewed his roommate, and he talks about what it was like when he found out, because his bedroom was right next door to his.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So he's like, that's where he was making the bombs, because he had a lock on his door so nobody could go in there. And that's the only place he could have been doing it. So the roommate is like, my head was like right up against that wall sleeping, you know, like I could have been killed. Like, I can't believe it. Like, would have had no idea, gave absolutely no indication of anything of the sort. So,
yep,
that's pretty crazy. So this guy, you know, kind of the unlikely person from the outside, at least. So, Chris, what happens here? The first package bomb goes off.
Yeah, it's fucking March 2nd of 2018. This is 911 calls. I don't know if you heard any of the 911 calls. Like, the one neighbor is on 911.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, something just blew up at my neighbor's house. Yep. There's blood everywhere. Like, we need ambulance and police here now, fucking. And he picked the package up off his porch. He ended up going to the hospital and passing away at the hospital, but if you think about it, dude, in this day and age, everybody's getting fucking packages in the mail.
All the fucking time.
All day long. There are truckloads of FedEx, Amazon, fucking UPS, like always just full of packages.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting shit delivered these days.
Exactly.
That would fuck up everybody's world.
Okay, for sure. So Anthony Stephen House was the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think he just went by Stefan, but nonetheless, you know, just terrible. I mean, it's fucking awful. This dude you fucking killed picking up a goddamn package off his porch when, like you said, Chris, the whole world is doing that about every day, you know. Now, Joey, I did see it the first, the police thought maybe the victim was making the bomb and it went off. Did you see that?
Yeah, which I think it was just because they were so... They said at first you got to wonder if there was like a gas explosion underground, right, or some other reason why there would be an explosion in the area. So like that's your first
like
thought.
Like somebody welding too close to their tank or some shit like that.
Yeah, and then fucking... So then they're like, well... It's still a long shot to think that somebody's going to be bombing. So for a second there, they thought maybe he was the one that was making it, had it outside, and it went off on him, and he killed himself. But I think they fucking quickly realized that wasn't the case.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, they got to have all their options open. You know, they don't know when this happens, what's going on.
And there was like... a couple shady spots in his neighborhood. There was a fucking dope house that was like...
had just gotten raided.
Four or five houses down, yeah. So, you know, the possibility that there was some kind of retaliation or just a rival fucking drug, you know, dealer that was trying to take out that house or whatever.
Right, apparently his house looked... the wrong his one. House looked exactly, apparently, very much like the house that got hit. So that's why they think maybe it was a retaliation, and like you said, they went to the wrong house. That was another thought, you know. So they're trying to figure this thing out, and then, of course, the fact that the victim was black, then that adds a racial component to it, so we just don't know here. And then 10 days later, March 12th of 2018, there are two package bombs that go off. One kills 17-year-old. This is so sad. This dude was a music prodigy.
Yeah, dude.
Draylen Mason, fucking amazing fucking... I think he was a cellist. Dude was fucking just so talented, just absolutely awful. 17, he's killed, and his mom is injured, but she survives. And the police feel, you know, obviously the city is under attack. And in another instance, and this is wrong in the notes, but I know that it's wrong, the woman is not killed. The next victim, 75-year-old Esperanza Herrera, she was there visiting her mother, so her mom had to be, what, geez, you know, 90s?
She was like 91 or something.
Yeah,
like
and so she was there visiting her mother, and she's hit with a bomb, but she doesn't die. She pulls through. So that was, you know, at least there's that, but another one with the package on the porch, that went off. So Draylen and his mom were both black, like the first victim, and Esperanza was Hispanic. So they're definitely giving some consideration to the idea that, you know, this could be racially motivated, you know, non-white victims. Right. And it's interesting to find out that the first victim's father and Draylen Mason's grandfather were actually very close and attended the same church. So that's interesting. Of course,
small world.
Yeah, both families are black. So again, this ties in that racial angle, you know, since that was possibly why they were targeted. Again, the cops have to just throw it all out on a table and see how it shakes out. And these guys are engaged, and they establish a task force and a command center, and they get organized with the feds. I mean, everybody's all boots on the ground. The bomb sites are spread out northeast, southeast, and central east in Austin. So, so they're trying to get a handle on this thing. And Tex, I mean, in the modern age, of course, race, you know, is going to come up all the time, but in this case, I mean, especially at this time, you know, and you can attest to it, I'm sure, you know, that was going on, that those were things people were talking about.
Yeah, it appeared at first, like you said, that all this was racially motivated for sure. The locations and identities of the bomb victims, you know, that raised definitely the possibility of racial motive.
Right.
The two that died, they were African American, like you said. Herrera was Hispanic. And geographically speaking, if you look at Austin, on the east side of Austin, that is all of the minority. Well, it used to be back then. It's kind of getting better now. But on the east side of Austin it's all the Black and Hispanics and Asian population. And then on the west side of I-35, where the actual city part is and the hills of Austin and everything like that, is all the white affluent people.
Interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately, you see that a lot, you know. I mean, that's just how it was, yeah. You know. So, and I-35 cuts it right through. I know that's what the one of the interviews I saw, they were talking about that. So that's very, very interesting. But, you know, with the media, too, they fan that flame, unfortunately. You know, it's like every single body cam video I watch where somebody gets thrown down to the ground, I'm going to say 75% of the time, it's I can't breathe. Almost 75% of the time.
They do that in prison, too,
I'm sure.
And it's not just the minority inmates either. It's all inmates.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Yeah, it's not exclusive to any one race. Everybody does it. No. Woman was in the back of the police car and saying, I can't breathe. And it's like you're in there. The fucking air with the rest of it. Like, where the fuck is wrong with you, you know? It's just fucking ridiculous, you know? So, and it's like fucking Jim Leahy always said in the Trailer Park Boys, Chris, you don't want to cry shit wolf.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, cry shit wolf, and that's shit, what happens, man. You know, that's fucking crying wolf there. So, so it's very unfortunate, but that is the world, of course, that we live in. And so, the FBI are involved, and they're coordinating things with law enforcement locally to catch this guy. Of course, the profilers are on it. The obvious, you know, that's what kills me. These people go to all this training, and I watch these documentaries, and they're talking to some PhD about shit that we could have easily answered.
Right.
And it's like, well, I'm glad that, you know, you've got all this schooling and these doctorates and this and that, but, you know, three fucking fools doing a podcast on serial killers can fucking answer these questions. But I digress. We're talking about the person being white, single, highly organized and intelligent, and most likely younger. Comparisons, of course, being made to the Unabomber, Eric Rudolph, Oklahoma City, Boston, you know, the well-known bombings, and that's to be, understood for sure. Now, Chris, the next bomb was a tripwire bomb.
Yeah, first time. Like, this is the one that was just out. It could have been anyone. It could have been a little kid. Fucking just anyone. But yeah, it's March 18th on the southwest side of Austin. There's two males. I don't remember what their names are. But they were 22 and 23 years old.
Right.
They hit the tripwire and it exploded. It injured them, but not terrible. They survived. Some injuries, went to the hospital, whatever. But this fucking tripwire was fucking attached to a damn sign that said "Drive like your kids live here," of all things. And nobody in that nobody in that fucking goddamn neighborhood had that sign. He put that motherfucker in there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fucked up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why, but it would be. It's an important clue, though.
Yeah, it definitely becomes pretty important here as things start to unfold. And that sign, of course, is going to do him in as we get into this. There were only 6 of those signs sold in the area, so they really were able to narrow it down to the locations where they were purchased. And he also wore distinctive white and pink work gloves, so when they and he's wearing them in the store.
The video and the fucking wig. He looked like fucking
looking like Bobby the Brain Heenan or something like that. So when they combine purchases of the gloves with that sign, then they're able to nail down the location. So very, very impressive, the police work in this one. I know, you know, we're always quick to I'm just as guilty. You know, when they do some dumb shit like Mark Dutroux or one of those cases where it's like, how the fuck could the police be so inept? Here's a case where they were fucking on it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Really 100% on
fucking
this shit. Like,
on
come
this
on.
Shit, you know?
Yep.
Now, Joey.
Man, when they were talking about trip wires and shit, the first place my brain went was this motherfucker was military.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I thought the same thing. Like, when I heard it. it's like you would think. I mean, that's where he would have got it from. The guy, the cop that saw the tripwire was military. That's how he was able to see it, you know.
I mean, at least a wee below, you know.
at least.
Yeah.
So Joey, that documentary that I watched, The Bomber on ABC News, showed some pretty cool stuff about what we were just talking about, them finding that tripwire.
Yeah, that was I watched that one too. It was a good documentary, but you know, it's at night that they're looking for this thing in the first place. So
right.
What the fuck? You're looking for a tripwire, which is like fucking non-existent in any time,
and you're
looking for it at night. So the detective that actually fucking found it, though, he was ex-military, so you know he found it. But then they had to wait around because, I mean, there might be more, so then they got to wait for it to get light so they can do a fucking more subjective fucking search of the surrounding area. And they didn't find anything as far as more tripwires. However, they did find some batteries that did belong to one of the devices, though, that was used.
Yep. And that becomes tripwire.
That's fucking... Yeah, everything this dude's doing, like all the different styles he's using, are all just fucking horrible terror tactics. You know? Like,
for sure.
Tripwires and fucking package bombs already just... Fuck my life. I don't even want to fucking go outside now.
Right,
exactly. And that tripwire was 3 inches off the ground, so that shit was low. I mean, it would have been super easy to fucking miss that. I'm, again, just so impressed with the police work here with this one. Just really, really top shelf. And so now they're doing press conferences, trying to calm the public down. You know, this is...
Hold on, wait. I got a question real fast.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody can answer this. So... If they're out there looking for tripwires, I mean, that's not something that's fucking super common that people are doing. Do you have dogs that go look for those, or will the dogs just fucking trip into them and fuck themselves up, you know?
I don't know.
Do they use bots?
Dogs are more... Yeah, I think the dogs are more like smelling the bomb parts.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not the tripwire.
Apparatus. Okay.
Yeah.
Would they do that? Do that physically, Tex, or would they do like the robots and that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, I forgot they got those too.
I would think if they had robots, they'd use them because you never want to put a human in a situation like that if you have a robot or something.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I think the way that cop got it was like monofilament line, and the his flashlight probably was a streamlight, and it probably lit that tripwire.
Ah,
okay,
nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did see like
kind of like a black light effect.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
And I saw like in like images in the fucking the bomber fucking documentary. Like they had the guys out there basically on their hands and knees in lines, like looking for the wires.
Wow.
And shit.
Yeah, that's got to be hairy for sure. So, you know, the police are trying to calm people down, but, you know, this is very difficult, and they do refer to him as a serial bomber. I mean, it's the cat's out of the bag at this point. And we see cases like this, that these perpetrators follow the case in the media, so they know what's going on, and then they're reacting to it, and, you know... I'm guessing he wanted to show him, you know, he could do different things, you know, show off what he knew. Again, you know, usually with these, the narcissism, I'm the smartest guy in the room kind of shit. But, you know, who knows? Just like we saw recently in a serial killer we covered it, where the news was saying all the victims were white and then he killed a black woman.
Like, oh, nope.
Yeah, watch. Fuck you, you know. So they kind of do that, you know. And you know, when you're trying to outsmarting the police and the media and stuff, it's like, ooh, I got one on you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, Tex, what do you think about that? I mean, did he mix it up because of the coverage, or was maybe there some other reason behind it?
I think sometimes the media can be harmful and sometimes helpful. And I think in this case, they were very helpful. The police, they were feeding the media the info that they wanted them to have, and Conant had to be following along closely. He even said in his confession video, which I'm sure you'll talk about later, but he said in his confession video that through the news, he knew that the police were closing in on him and he couldn't stop what he was doing. So he changed his methods because of that. So, yeah, I think definitely he was following.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Yep. You know, it does. You know, I think a lot of them do that. It's just they want to see what's going on. They want to, you know, they want that limelight, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Chris, only 2 days later, though, March 20th, you get another bomb going off.
Yeah, only this one is in a FedEx FedEx facility with a bunch of packages and shit. It freaking in Schertz, Texas. It goes off. It injures a couple employees, but or one employee. Nobody got really bad hurt, whatever. But still, now these things are being shipped. Now they're not just sitting on fucking doors
right.
or tripwires. Now they're going down the road in a vehicle to a different location that you have no idea.
Right. This is near San Antonio, so this is a distance. Tex, how far is it from Austin to San Antonio?
Maybe an hour 15, something
okay.
like that.
Okay, so this...
Schertz is on the north end, so probably about 45 minutes
okay.
to Schertz.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Joey, later that same day, though, there's another suspicious package. What's going on with this one, dude?
This one, they intercepted, though, also, I believe it was at FedEx as well.
Yeah, right.
It was supposed to go to Austin. Like I said, they did intercept it, and they were able to defuse this one. Now, of course, this one, they fucking get to, after they defuse it, of course, they get to fucking tear it apart. They get to fucking see exactly what's going on. You're learning things. Plus, the fucking... I mean, the biggie is that they have exactly where the package came from.
Right.
Where it's going to.
All the information, so they just have to go back and fucking look to see their suspect now. The fucking crazy thing to me is that Condit, as much as, like, he, you know, seemed to have planned all this out with what he was doing, and I wouldn't, if it was me, I don't think I would bank on the fact that that information would get destroyed in the blast off that package, you know? So you would have to assume that they would be able to fucking piece that shit together anyway and figure that out, but I don't know, they hadn't up to that point, so.
Yeah, those batteries, too, those distinctive batteries they found and the other stuff, they were able to figure out how he's able to make this bomb, and they had him on video in that one store there, so you know, they definitely are getting on to him there, because the other town where it went, where the bomb was received, was in Sunset Valley, Texas, so that's near Austin, with a population of only 700. So he's going to this little FedEx in Sunset Valley, Texas, and they catch him on video there. And, you know, like you said, he's got that wig on and those pink and white gloves, very just odd. And they said the cashier thought something was up just before he even was contacted by the police, just knew something was up with the guy. And
dude's coming in wearing gloves.
Yeah, and he went out and saw that he walked to his truck, but it was like several stores down.
Way down the fucking
and then when he took off, he noted, you know, hey, it was a Ford Ranger. He described it, and so they're able to, you know, at least have that bit of information.
Red one spots out like sticks out like a motherfucker.
That's right, and you know, it's just one little piece, and it's just amazing what these cops are able to do with it. I mean, I'm just always blown away. That's why I love watching true crime documentaries, because not only am I fascinated by the crime, but I'm also fascinated at how they catched them, you know? So yeah. I just love the whole, everything about it. I also drove a red Ford Ranger, was older than this one. But I laughed when I saw that, yeah. Now, Tex, it really amazes me, though, how the cops are able to figure this shit out, man. I mean, everybody's on video today.
Yeah, man, you cannot get away with shit anymore, I tell you what.
Right.
With DNA and all that shit, yeah, you can't get away with anything.
No.
I mean, the only indications of why he did what he did and his methods, you know, were on that confession video. And unfortunately... we'll never hear that because I don't think they're going to release it. I watched a ton of news videos and interviews with people. They described him as like just a normal kid and a happy kid.
Right.
That's bullshit, in my opinion. He wanted to terrorize as many people as possible.
Right.
And not get caught doing it, period, full stop. And he was just an evil little shit.
So you don't think it was like a murder or a suicide by cop type thing that he wanted? Or you think he was just being a douchebag and trying to be slick and get away with it?
Yeah, because he stayed away from his known addresses and stuff like that.
That's right.
So he knew that the cops were on to him.
Right.
And that's why he didn't go back to his known places.
True.
So I don't think it was any type of suicide by cop or anything like that. I think he was on his way to send that bomb that blew himself up.
Right.
I think he was on his way to mail that one out too.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. And I did see there was another bomb that went off on March 21st in nearby Round Rock, Texas, but one person was mm-hmm. killed in that blast, but then I didn't see something to corroborate that. Does anybody know if there was another one? I saw a map that showed where all the bombs went off, and there was the one that I was on March 21st, so I'm not 100% on that. But, Chris, the police investigation definitely fucking heating up, and like you said, they know the first bombs were not bailed, but these were, so what's going on with them?
I don't know, man. He's fucking crazy. For like, the ones on the porches, you know, even 2018, that wasn't that long ago. People got their fucking Ring cameras and shit, even.
Right.
Like, the fact
that's
there's
ballsy,
no...
That's ballsy, man.
Yeah, like, come on. People got their house... surveillance cameras out. Like I said, even just the Ring cameras help solve so many crimes these days. Like, your neighbor across the street, hey, yeah, you got a camera, can we see it?
Yeah, just Chris Watts. I mean, that was a good recent one that he got nailed on one of those cameras. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that they ballsy as he is. But, you know, I get Amazon packages all the time from a driver driving their own car. So, I mean, it wouldn't look suspicious if a guy pulling up, I mean, if he's in some old beater maybe, but, you know, a decent car or truck, and gets out with the package and puts it on the porch, I bet people wouldn't even pay attention to it because it's so common.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's still ballsy, and to think that, yeah, he's not going to get picked up on a camera is just amazing. Now, Joey, the first two bombs went off when they were picked up, and the third one went off when it was opened. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, he was, like we said, this guy was doing all different kinds of things. You didn't really know, you know, was it going to take just fucking moving the package itself, or did you actually have to enter it for the detonation to occur?
Right.
Could it have been, you know, in something else too? Yeah, I mean, the guy was fucking crazy. He was fucking making bombs. It was his fucking downfall. But the tripwire shit, that showed, you know, his ingenuity to fucking switch it up a little bit. And the guy probably fucking, as far as I can imagine, anybody that writes a manifesto house usually pretty fucking nuts and in a fucking loner sense. Is probably fucking sitting there for a long ass time coming up with all the ways that he wants to, you know, cause terror on people and fucking do this shit. So whenever he finally sets his plan into action, he's got all these fucking scenarios to pick from, and, you know, it helped fucking jumble the investigation a little bit. It just adds confusion, but most of all, it fucking adds a even higher level of fucking terror in the community, I think.
Yeah, I agree, dude. I mean, it's definitely some scary shit. I mean, he's mission accomplished if he's trying to terrorize the whole fucking population of Austin with this kind of crazy shit, you know? I mean, it's just, and he's mixing it up, and definitely scary. There are more...�
know it's not the... I know it's not the exact same thing, but I got to feel like almost everybody after 9/11 and the anthrax attacks and all that shit. Oh, yeah. Like, that was kind of freaky. So anybody probably the next time they looked at their mail was like, should I open this shit? You know, because you didn't know.
Right.
It's just some powder in it. You know, that's scary.
It is. I mean, what do you do? Like, hit it with a broom and make sure it's not going to go off.
Right, right.
What the fuck, you know? I mean, somebody could be sending some Pop-Tarts, Chris, and we're like bashing it with a fucking broom. That would be terrible.
Hey, speaking of Pop-Tarts, be expecting a box here.
Oh,
there you go.
Awesome. Thank you, Tex. So there's more than 500 FBI and ATF agents on the case. Some serious shit. Police have more than 1,200 calls about suspicious packages, so I couldn't even imagine it. And it's just tough. I mean, what makes it suspicious? It's in a cardboard box on your porch, you know? I mean, wow.
I mean, I can understand if we'll say, just like when the stuff from Nico got here, you're like, what are these packages? Like, not expecting something.
Right.
But still, you could have got blown up, Pete.
I could have. But Nico would.
You get paranoid.
Nico would.
You get paranoid and call the fucking bomb squad, and they come over and fucking open it up, and it's all your cocaine that you ordered, and you're like, oh,
shit.
Fuck.
Or that Richard Ramirez dildo from Nico. You know?
Oh, God.
Damn. I can't wait to talk to him on Sunday. It's going to be crazy. So unless someone saw a random guy all concealed or looking suspicious dropping this package off, I mean, I honestly don't know what would make somebody stand out. I just don't, you know, unless that family like never got packages. But like I said, in today's world, everybody is.
And you know, if this had been 2 or 3 years later, probably everybody would have had a fucking doorbell cam on their shit.
Probably.
You know? Then they would have seen him.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
You could have watched that motherfucker get blown up. That'd have been crazy as
fuck. Oh, right? Oh, that would have been awful. So it makes it challenging. I mean, they're trying to find, you know, literally the needle in the haystack. So now, Tex, law enforcement figures out he's using some common ingredients, and that's why finding that bomb intact was so key, man.
Yeah, man. If you can reverse engineer a bomb like that, you pretty much have your suspect. Because as we'll find out, they tracked most of the stuff to a Home Depot location in Round Rock. There was also a Fry's electronics store where he put... he bought this battery box to link all the batteries together to power the bomb. So there's only a few of those locations. And those batteries that he ordered from, I think, was it Amazon or eBay or something like that came from China?
He ordered them from China. I don't know whether he used eBay or how he did that. But I know that's where he got them.
Yeah,
was China.
There was some way they tracked his IP address to something he had bought, and I can't remember what it was. But, if you can track all that stuff, and like you said, the Drive Like Your Kids Live Here sign, they only sold 6 of those in the area. You kind of narrow all that down into locations and times and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's good police work.
Yeah, and then they're able to look at the video at the store to see how much he looks like the fucking dude in the fucking FedEx, and they're like, yeah, it's pretty close, you know, and then that fucking Ford Ranger again, you know, so really just amazing police work for sure. Now, Chris, another thing the cops had going for him is that he's using these rare batteries, and like Tex was saying, you know, they could get the IP address and kind of match that up. I mean, like I said, is there any way a criminal could get away with shit today with the tools that law enforcement...
That shit's fucking on there. Like, do they follow your IP address? Anything you fucking order.
Or searches. You know, they get people all the time with the searches.
Exactly, then you're getting them fucking batteries from China. And a bunch of these fucking batteries from China, and they find them at the fucking scene. It's like, okay, cool. We know that this is where it's coming from.
Yeah, because they're rare. So, you know, they were, you know...
copper tops just weren't good enough for him.
I guess not, man. It's so un-American.
Blown up. Go to the dollar store and get some.
Yeah, no shit.
Now, Joey, they also used a witness sketch to compare to that video footage. I don't know if I saw a sketch on this one, but they're doing everything they can to kind of piece this whole thing together, man.
Yeah, it's all coming together, you know, little bit by little bit. Of course, the best thing that they have is the video footage of him leaving because they know the make and model of the vehicle.
Right.
They didn't have a license plate number because I think he took it off.
Right.
So it's like, there were certain things that he thought to do, you know, to evade them.
But not enough.
But there were other things that he obviously either just didn't fucking comprehend himself to know not to do, or I don't know.
I wonder if he watched a video on how to do this and fell asleep, so he missed part of it.
Right.
Because like you said, that was smart about the license plate, but dude, like seriously, you know. So
this is another case, you know, that we talked about where the guy fucking, you know, ends up fucking not living anymore, so you lose all your questions to ask at that point. So was this dude like, I mean, how fucking far was he really trying to go? That was never really determined either. So it was strange with this guy.
Definitely. So they can move mountains, you know, the police can, to get these fuckers on a case like this. And they're doing everything they can, using every resource possible, which is what the fuck we pay them for. I know that there's quite a few cases out there, like we've said, with the cops have fucked up. But to me, I mean, they nailed it on this one. My applause. Tex, what about your thoughts on that subject here?
Yeah, we've seen some incompetence on a lot of cases, and they are many, like you said. But then again, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes, because when you don't deal with certain crimes on a regular basis,
right,
like murders in a small town and stuff like that, you know, some of the cops' egos get in the way because, you know, they're arrogant assholes most of the time. And they don't like to ask for help from outside agencies and stuff like that. There's a lot of room for fucking it up, you know
what I mean? Oh, yeah.
But, in this case, though, Austin PD, they move very swiftly and decisively. They brought in all of the assets that they needed to solve it. Got to give a lot of credit to, there was the chief at the time. He was
was he the acting chief?
What do you call it? An interim, an interim chief, Brian Manley. He had his faults, and that's why he didn't last too long. But in this case, he got it exactly right, so I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, that was impressive. Yep. I liked him on there, just very decisive. You know, I thought he did a good job under the gun like that, for sure.
I do too.
So, Chris, the police start checking vehicle registrations. This is fucking very smart, man.
There's this FBI agent. She just goes through and starts checking the registrations on fucking 2002 fucking red Ford Rangers, people in their 20s, and fucking there's Mark Condit, like, right there. Not because there wasn't very many fucking blue Ford Rangers of 20-some-year-olds driving them, so.
Right.
You got to understand, too, it's Texas, and we don't have a lot of small trucks.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
That's true. Able to find him fucking... She was able to look that shit up and get a picture of him and matches the video of the fucking Home Depot and the fucking
address. All she needs to know to get his ass. So early on March 21st, the police are poised and ready to go and arrest Mark Condit. They have a few homes he was associated with, but as Tex correctly pointed out, he wasn't in any of those. He knew they were onto him. So, you know, he's avoiding those places, but they end up searching the parking lots of hotels in town, which, again, very smart. And they find this truck, this Ford Ranger, at a Marriott Courtyard in Round Rock, which is, again, just north of Austin. And then, Joey, they're watching him sit in this vehicle, man. And what is going through their mind, man?
I mean, you don't know what this guy's intentions are. Yeah. They don't know if he's going to kill himself. They don't know if he's going to look for, you know, like you were talking about earlier, suicide by cop, if they're about to get involved in that situation. They don't know what's really going on right now. All they know is that they've got the suspect that did all that stuff, and he's sitting in this hotel parking lot, and all of a sudden he starts going. He's on the move now. I mean, it gets freaked out, and he's headed towards the interstate, and they don't want that. They're just thinking about the possible other victims, so they know that they got to fucking stop this guy. Like, this is the end of the road. This is, you know, the confrontation's right
this
now.
This is serious shit.
They're coming in. I wish you could. Tex has, our listeners won't know, if Tex has the background, it's awesome, but they had these vans, and they were following him, and so they basically had him fucking boxed in, so fucking, they finally, you know, were like, okay, we gotta tap this dude. They fucking hit him towards the fucking edge of the road. He fucking bounces fucking off one into the other van. He's fucking done. He's stopped now.
What brass the balls thing is, they had to fucking ram him, though. Wow, that could have been kaboom. Because they're in regular passenger vans. They're not in armored anything. Like, they weren't expecting this to happen, you know?
And so this is what's crazy, too. So they're plan was, of course, to apprehend him, go to the fucking driver's side and fucking get him out that way. Because they had fucking knocked him so far into the fucking ditch on the fucking left-hand side, they came up at him from the fucking passenger side. As soon as they fucking approach, boom, he detonates the fucking bomb that's in the fucking vehicle, blows up, kills himself instantly. Two of the officers fucking get injured. Luckily didn't fucking die, but they showed it later on, like a video of that, and the explosion, had they been on the driver's side, the fucking explosion was fucking huge out that side. And the one guy did get knocked back from the fucking passenger side window, but then there was a third officer, and they were talking to him, and he said that he could see into the windshield. So he knew exactly what happened when it happened, and he knew that Condit was, he said, no longer a threat at that point.
Wow. Yeah, I can't imagine being able to see that actually happen. That would be fucked up. But yeah, that fireball, I mean, Tex, they show it on the video. It's pretty fucking outrageous, man. This fucking huge fireball comes out, and those cops are lucky, man. They went to the passenger side instead of the driver's side.
Yeah, dude, I watched the video because, you know, Austin PD had their birds in the air. And like you said, my background is kind of that. But the commander on scene said that she was not given any choice what to do. They were waiting on the armored vehicles to get there from Austin, but they were too fucking slow. They only go like 50 miles an hour. So when he pulled out, like you said, all this shit happened. Just speaking from experience, you know, the pucker factor is there, but when it's go time,
you gotta go.
You just rely on your training, and you just hit it, and you rely on that and your buddies. And hey, these guys made it out alive, and I don't want to say thankfully, but in my opinion, thankfully, Condit didn't survive.
Yeah,
right. Now, the two officers that were injured were Officers Garcia and Justison. Justison was the guy that got blown back. But I saw pictures of them when they were in the hospital, and they were both giving thumbs up. So that was a pretty cool thing to see. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that was just incredibly courageous to do something like that. I mean, holy shit, especially when they're not the armored guys, you know, they're just in a cargo van and that was some pretty harrowing video. So if you're listening and you want to check that out, that's on YouTube. But
it sure is.
They wind up doing a raid of Condit's house. So that was also hairy, because obviously they don't know what's there. They don't know if he's got the place wired up or what's going on. They do find lots of evidence of how he built the devices, of course. And I mentioned the roommate I saw on video talking with the reporter. about this, and you know, again, just had no idea. You know, he seemed like a pretty normal guy, and they were roommates, but I don't think for that long. But still, you know, their rooms were right next to each other, and just to find that out just had to be just like a mind blow, for sure.
Could you imagine being the roommate when the police busted?
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ, dude!
Oh, God.
You're in your bedroom, ooh, fucking cranking one out. Cops.
Whoa, buddy!
I was getting dressed, motherfucker. I was getting dressed. So they got him. You know, obviously he's dead, but I mean that they've obviously conclusively know that yes, he did this. There were some hoaxes and shit like that. Of course, people are awful. The South by Southwest festival that they hold each March in Austin, which is an absolutely huge music event, received bomb threats. So that definitely was a disruption. The eBay facility in Austin did as well. And they did arrest the 26-year-old for the eBay threat. That was made by email, so that's fucking stupid. But, you know, people are just dumb.
World class.
Yeah, just being really ridiculous.
Probably some dude that just didn't want to go to work.
Probably. Now, Chris, I did see on March 20th there was a suspicious situation. Did you see that?
I did not see that. The fucking dude in the Goodwill. Yeah, I'm reading the notes. Yeah, I didn't see that, but that got hit with burned by an artillery simulator device.
Yeah. At one of those donation boxes at a Goodwill.
Yeah. So, they said Austin. It wasn't connected, but.
South Austin. So, yeah, that's kind of wild. And the police did make a statement and said that it was not so connected to the other. So, who knows?
But yeah, if I could go into Goodwill and all of a sudden you got some shit going on.
Yeah,
too.
Put your arm in the fucking thing and something went off.
Fuck.
So, Tex, when we get down to the bottom of this whole fucking goat fuck, the obvious question is why? Why the fuck did this go on? And you mentioned earlier that video that he left. What was the deal with that, man?
Well, they never did put out the video for obvious reasons. It might inspire, copycats or... inspiration for other people to do the same fucking thing. Right. They didn't really put anything else about it, but Chief Manley did have a press conference. And he said that Conant was, well, he didn't call him a domestic terrorist at first because he said that he thought the term had a legal definition and he's not a prosecutor. And knowing that it might end up in the legal system at some point, he was being very specific on legal definitions that exist under federal law.
Okay.
I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
As, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to watch his ass.
You don't want to, and you don't want to sway a jury's opinion that, you know, should the crimes go to trial or anything.
Right.
So you got, during what was going on, you kind of have to watch what you say and be very measured.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather him be like that than to fucking blow it because they were, you know, for whatever reason, wanting to talk, you know. It's just, that's good. I think that being more reserved is smart. Now, to me, I mean, I do believe the guy was a domestic terrorist, but, you know, very white, very right-wing politically, a survivalist. You couple that with the extreme religious beliefs, and you know, I could see how somebody would just snap. Again, I'm not trying to get political here because I just fucking hate that shit anymore. I don't watch any of it. I don't read any of it. I don't even care. But
no doubt,
it's part of the story here, and I wanted to, you know, bring it up. But like I said, I'm so removed. And I know that's probably not the right thing, is to be that apathetic about it, that I just don't care.
Right.
But I've just learned that no matter how upset I would get, nothing is going to change. You know, read the book Animal Farm, and that last fucking line about when he looked from pig to man and man to pig, they were exactly the same. And it was like, the thing you were fighting, you're just as fucking guilty as the other, you know? And so that's how I feel about it now. I'm just, like I said, I would rather spend my time watching serial killer videos, to be completely honest with you. So yeah, I don't really spend my time worrying about political stuff. So, you know, I think definitely, as we've all been saying, I mean, some really amazing police work here. You know, to catch this guy in 19 days, you know, Austin's the 11th largest city in the United States, which I was surprised at. I didn't realize it was that big of a city. 1 million people. And so the fact that they got this guy in less than 3 weeks is pretty impressive. Could have gone on a lot longer, could have gone unsolved very easily, had he been smarter about how he did what he did. Especially, you know, when you look at, you know, the way police can do just about anything today, pretty tough to get over on the cops now with all the tools that they have at their disposal. And now everybody's got video surveillance at their house. So, you know, that's pretty tough to get away with when you get that much coverage. Funny side note, I mentioned the fact that I drove the Ranger, but again, mine was older and pretty beat up and did not look like this one. So I'm okay. All right. Mine was an 89.
Yeah, you're off.
Mine was an 89 stick shift and drove it for years. And I got hit so many times in that truck. I may have told the story that we were $1,500 short of having enough money to get Flesh of the Week, the first Low 12 album, pressed. And I was driving on home from work, and this fucking lady broadsided me. And the first thing I thought of is, there's $1,500 because I wasn't going to get this fucking truck fixed. It was all beat up. You know?
Right.
So I was when you could drive to the State Farm. They had a garage. And I as soon as the incident was over, I drove straight to the garage, and I sat down with an adjuster and they handed me the check. And I went to band practice with the check, and I think it was $1,700.
Nice.
So I even had a couple hundred bucks. Yeah, so yeah. That truck was very near and dear to me for helping Low 12 put out that Flesh of the Week album. Anything to add to this one, gentlemen, old Mark Condit?
No, I'm good.
No.
Nope.
All right. Well, Tex, always, we love having you on and appreciate it. And you want to stay on for the rest of the segment here as we close things out for murder?
Yeah, man, I got you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, dude.
Appreciate
it. Of course.
I love this one.
Yeah, definitely a good one to do with you. Now, I did my research on this one watching a couple of good documentaries. I mentioned The Bomber from ABC News. That was really good. Lots of interviews with everybody involved, the press conferences, and all of that. Highly recommend it. I did watch some of the other stuff, and that's where I saw that interview with the roommate. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, this just happened 5 years ago. Yeah. You know, so this is recent. And I did use Wikipedia a little bit with some of the dates and details. There was also a really good article in the New York Times about it. So I did read that as well. But there is stuff out there. Now, next week, we're going to be going to the UK for a case that some people may not know about. Really? Trevor Hardy, known in the press as the Beast of Manchester. Definitely not one of the Hardy Boys. Okay, not one of them. Love the Hardy Boys back when I was
not the wrestlers or the
That's right. This dude was a badass, terrorizing people around him with incredible displays of violence. Brutally murders three teenage girls from 1974 to 1976. Definitely going to be a twisted one. And just a heads up, ladies, this is another one of the old schoolers who strangled his victims with their own stockings. So you're going to be fair game next week when we talk about that. So some classic shit there, and we're going to be in the UK for it. We'll do that next week. Maybe we'll get some fish and chips or something, Chris.
Yeah, cool.
Joey, how about you with the page a day for us?
Couple quick ones, but thanks, page a day. This first one, I thought this was pretty cool. This is more just like a knowledge type thing, and this is about arsenic pentoxide. Now, Arsenic is a shapeless, lumpy white crystalline powder or solid. It occurs naturally in low concentrations in the human body and the environment. Now, it can be disseminated into the air as an aerosol or contaminate food or water. It's absorbed into the body through ingestion, inhalation, or mucous membranes. It cannot be absorbed through unbroken skin. Side effects occur over a wide range of time, starting with immediate effects of a garlic or burning taste, a burning feeling at the point of mucous membrane contact, and a cough. Now, the effects, they can intensify over minutes, hours, days, and weeks, and you can get neuropathy, skin changes, a decrease in blood cells. Well-known intermediary side effects include Mies lines, which are white bands that are on your nails, and cloudy rice water diarrhea.
Yeah, sweet.
So that's cool.
Ooh, that sounds like a Gormonger album, man.
Right? Now, they got this British anti-lewisite, which is a common, readily available medicine that's used in a lot of industries that can decrease the toxicity of arsenic. So anyway, arsenic is one hell of a killer, so that's some
definitely
info about it.
From you hear about it a lot.
Hell yeah. Now, this other one, this is fucking just weird. This is about Lord Errol and Tonio Trebinsky. So, the murder of Tonio Trebinsky was life imitating art imitating life. So, this is October 16th of 2001. Tonio Trebinsky, he's shot in the heart in his car outside of a friend's home in Karen, Kenya. So, this goes unsolved. But the thing about this, it happened just 1 mile from a 1941 murder of Jocelyn Hay, who was the Earl of Errol, who was also shot in the heart while he was sitting in his car. His murder was made famous. His murder was made famous by James Fox's novel White Mischief, which was published in 1982. Now, Tonio's mother was also a writer. Her name was Errol Trebinsky, and she had also written a book about Hay's murder in 2000 called The Life and Death of Lord Errol. Her book theorized that Hay was killed by British intelligence because he harbored damaging information about dealings between England and Germany at the beginning of World War II. Now, the theory was largely based on one document and was not corroborated, but Errol herself, she believed Tonio had been murdered by British intelligence as a warning to her to stop her investigation into Hay's death.
Wow.
So that's some crazy
shit.
Yeah,
that is crazy. Interesting. Page a day, man. Some good stuff there. Well, I think we have done our fair share of murdering tonight. I think it's time to crank up the fucking metal. And so, Tex, what the fuck do we need to do?
Let's get our metal
just
on,
because
y'all.
CK has passed on, he's not done educating the masses. CK will forever be the great metal motherfucker. We're here to stomp poser ass and eradicate the planet of their kind. CK has passed the torch to us, and we will forge the fuck on. In CK's name, we will bestow metal knowledge upon all of you. Fuck yeah, the great metal motherfucker coming up on the anniversary of his passing. So
yes, we are.
Unbelievable to think it's been a couple years now, and it's just, yeah, I mean, he was such a big part of the show, and so because CK's gone, we have decided to pass the torch every week, and horns, is, if you will, and when it's your turn with the horns, you pick the feature, and Chris, it's your turn, so what's up?
So I decided I was going to do the band First Blood. You know, when I decided to do these guys, I figured I'd be able to find more than I was able to find. So I wasn't able to find a whole lot, so it's going to be a little shortened down, whatever. But yeah, First Blood is a fucking hardcore band that formed in San Francisco, California in 2002. And then in 2003, they put out their first self-titled EP. Well, I was reading it was this weird word. It was like anonymously or whatever, and I should have wrote it down, but it was a weird word. I didn't even know what it meant. Basically means self-titled shit, like calling yourself. But so yeah, then in 2004 they put out a split with a band called Blacklisted that was called The Dead Man's Hand, which I haven't heard that yet. I haven't even heard that split at all ever. So I'm not even sure what it sounds like. And in 2006, their first full-length, fucking California, which is an amazing album to me. That's what the first thing I ever heard by them. Fucking badass. Being the name of the band's First Blood, they actually do use samples from the movie and there in certain songs. Actually, the song I picked out begins with a sample from it. So,
the book First Blood is amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No shit. Right on. And they toured with that album all over the country or whatever with bands like The Red Cord and Sick of It All. Fucking getting out there. And then in 2007, they did a bunch of touring around all over the place with fucking Full Blown Chaos and Death Before Dishonor. And a couple other really cool hardcore bands I listened to a lot back in the day. And then in 2010, their second full length, they put out was called Silence is Betrayal, which is kind of cool. I like that. And then 2017, their third and late, that like they only had the three full links out, and it, the first third one was called Rules, and which every song that I've seen on that starts with the word rule, like rule of the sea, rule of what, it, like, huh. So it's an album full of rules. Okay. And throughout the years, they had a fucking, for only having three fucking full-length albums, they had a shit ton of lineup changes. I was looking at all the past members. I'm like, holy fuck, dude. What is going on with this shit? Right. but yeah, their current lineup is Carl Schwartz on vocals, Robert Rosendale on bass, Johan Vesters on guitar, and Bobby Blood on drums. And they're still active today, even though, like I said, they haven't put anything out since 2017. But, yeah, they're still active today. They're just a really good hardcore band to listen to. Fucking heavy as shit. And good band.
Very cool. All right. Well, excellent. All right. Well, I got the Lost Classic this week.
Hell yeah.
And I went back to 1985. I remember this album coming out. This was right when I was starting to get into the heavier stuff. Hell Awaits by Slayer. Probably my favorite, only because, like, you know, we've always said, you know, that album that came out, you know, when you're teens, when, you know, you're first starting to get into shit, that's the ones that stick with you. This would be one for me. I love that album. At Dawn They Sleep. I mean, just so many great songs on there. Hell Awaits, of course, but The Antichrist was on the first ones, one of my favorites as well. I love the old Slayer, but Hell Awaits is just so killer. So
fucking A, man.
So yeah. All right, what have we been listening to lately, Chris? What have you been jamming?
Obviously, it was fucking First Blood. I was jamming them.
Right.
And you know, I don't... you know me, man. Just random shit. I should just write shit down when I'm listening to it because I just like.
Or pull up your history, you know, and you could probably easily rattle off.
For some reason, my Spotify history erased itself.
Wow. Okay. Well, Joey, what about you, man?
I was listening to some Embryonic Devourment. I was listening to some Alienation Mental. Let's see, fucking. Jamming some Syphilit because I just fucking played a show with him.
Word.
So fucking jamming some of his new shit. And also some Embalmer fucking Ohio Death
metal. Oh, yeah, some Ohio Death for sure. That's cool. We're eating Pop-Tarts because it's in the metal segment. I've been jamming the shit out of Eradicated. I mentioned them earlier, that Descendants album that just came out. Wow. Infestation. This is some German thrash. They got an album, first album out, called The Vermin Within. Really, really good. Then Shane over there in Winnipeg has been telling me about this band, God Slut. Gotta know what a band called God Slut sounds like. So I checked it out. Procreation of God, really wicked technical death metal, three-piece from Poland, so he said that's why he's, you know, checking them out, because they're his kin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
over there in Poland. So, killer, though. I have been in touch with them trying to line up an interview for Shane and I to do with Godslut. So that would be cool.
That would be dope.
Hell and yeah. Then Overthrow, a band called an album called Ascension of the Entombed, like old school death metal stuff. Really, really cool, called Overthrow. So I like those guys. All right. Joey, did you want to talk about the show that you just did over there in the 419?
Yeah. So last Friday, fucking a little spot we got in Oregon, Illinois, which is right outside Toledo, but
Oregon, Illinois.
Yeah. But they're a cool ass little fucking bar. And
hold on. I played Oregon, Illinois.
Oh, Oregon, Ohio. My bad. Oregon, Ohio. But, so I played a few shows there and shit. But anyway, so we knew the Friday 13th was, you know, coming up in October. So a few months ago, me and my buddy, Sean from Alien 666, we decided we'd throw a show together on that day. And I had just played with Syphilic in Chicago, which he is huge in the brutal death metal scene. And he just now has started, like, really playing shows. He's only played a couple. And, so I asked him, because he's only, he's not even an hour from me south of Detroit.
Right.
And I was like, hey, man, like, you know, what would it take for you to come out? And he told me what he wanted and fucking said he needed a ride and shit. I was like, hell yeah. So, you know, got to kick it with Brian, who does Syphilic all day, which that was fucking cool. And we played the show, and we had a punk rock band, Disturbio Social 313 from Detroit. They opened it up, and then our buddies in Natural Graffiti, they do some fucking just experimental. They do some Primus shit, some heavy shit. They're really fucking talented. They actually did a cover. They got a new guitarist, so they're kind of like working with what they got for a set, which I know how that goes. But they did a cover, though, a Call of Cthulhu, which was fucking nasty. Oh, fucking so good.
Oh, yeah.
Then Alien 666, the homies, they played third. Syphilic played fourth because I didn't want to make him play last. And then I did a Goremonger set, so that shit was fucking fun.
Very cool. Excellent.
Yeah, it was a
good turnout.
You know, yeah, fucking decent turnout. I mean, it was a free show. You know, I was trying to push just to get people there. It was pretty fucking full. I had some homies that came out. Fucking Montez from Indiana, Maria and her boyfriend Matt. They came out and
awesome.
Fucking yeah, I can't remember some other. Oh, some of the fucking Michigan fucking homies came down, but. Yeah, super fun.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right, well, politically correct death metal. I came up with a few.
All right.
In case you guys didn't have any to share. Chris, Joey? Nope. No? Nope.
Go ahead and tell yours, and then I might surprise you.
Okay. Well, I've got Bloodbath as cleaning your body with the liquid that runs through veins.
Nice.
Gore Guts. Shedding of bodily fluids and entrails, which probably sounds worse than
right, kind of.
and then a local favorite here, impetigo, with contagious bacterial skin infection, and then in parentheses forming pustules and crusty sores.
Fuck yeah,
which definitely sounds worse than impetigo. So that's what I got. What about you, Joe?
I came up with some this time.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Now, I didn't really go with metal bands per se, so I got a few different ones. We'll see what y'all think.
Alrighty.
So the Hard-Ons, punk rock band Hard-Ons, Phallic Stiffenings.
Phallic, okay.
The Bare Naked Ladies, remember them?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Unclad Non-Biological Males. Twisted Sister, Mentally Fragile Sibling.
There you go.
I like that.
Cheech and Chong, Latino and Asian. Not to be offensive to anyone.
Right.
Love it.
And then the last one I got, Great White, Mediocre, Non-Melatonic.
Nice. I like that. I like that. I mean, politically correct death metal could branch out into other other things. I think that's awesome. Fuck yeah. Good to hear.
The Bare Naked Ladies one is the one that I thought of, and
that's
I thought of it at work, and I was like, oh, I need to remember to do that this time.
That's funny. So, listeners, if you got any you want to share, please send them to us at Pete@MurderMetalMayhem.com. I am talking to the manager of the band Eradicated about doing an interview with the singer, who is, I believe, the only member of the band that can speak English. They're on tour now, as I mentioned, with Soil Work, but he's even going to try to see if he can do it from the tour bus, which would be badass as fuck. Never done one of those. So Shane has been really into them as well. So I was going to do that with Shane. And he was down, and because I mean, Tex really enjoyed talking to Mick, so I thought, oh, let's see if Shane wants to get involved in some of these, so the metal ones. And then if I line up that Godslut interview, he's going to do that one as well. So that'll be cool. And speaking of Shane and speaking of metal, talking about our 666 seconds of metal. Shane may be involved, will be involved. How much, I don't know yet. I'm going to do the first few myself and then start incorporating other people into the format. But he's going to be involved in it. He's interested in it, and I think that's really great. So, and I know you guys will probably be in on it. I mean, we're all going to be involved in some way. The thumbnail graphic art software I got really does a good job, so they'll look really cool. And the StreamYard software to record with looks really awesome. So I'm really excited to roll this out and get these going. So very, very soon, definitely by the end of the month. I'm hoping even before that. So now, Chris, you got the horns next.
Why do I get it two times in a row?
Yeah, that's right. Why do you have it two times in a row? Joey, do you have the horns next?
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. Yeah,
I was reading the notes and I saw Chris's name. And I wasn't thinking either. Yeah. I will come up with something though.
Yeah, it's funny because I used the notes from the week before to do the notes for the episode.
Right, just change shit.
I just change stuff, so every now and then one like that will get by. Right, so right. Yeah, that's funny. All right.
Oh, by the way, did y'all notice I made it all the way through the fucking murder segment without getting up and take a piss?
No, I didn't know that. You got a catheter or something over there? A piss jug?
I guess.
So the 666 seconds of metal is going to be super cool. I'm excited to try it and get this channel growing, because right now we're just kind of stagnant, just under 200 subscribers, but like to see it, you know, really blow up. So what about the latest with Goremonger and the Distro, Joey? Anything you wanted to mention?
Not too much off top. If anybody wants some CDs, just hit me up. I sold out of all my t-shirts, so I'll have to order new ones, which is not a bad problem to have. But
no, it's not.
We have Murder Metal Mayhem shirts, so fucking hit us up and get one of our shirts.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
And the holidays are coming up, so you can get some presents for people.
Exactly.
Murder Metal Mayhem shit.
Exactly. So, and that 666 Club, that would be a nice gift for a loved one. Patreon is how you could support us, $3 a month, and you get the episodes early, you get discounts on merch, and it's just a cool thing. And now I'm starting to do a new thing through Outlook to get a hold of the 666 Club members a little more easily than I was the way I was doing it before. And so, yeah, you want to get in on that shit. I'll link to that in the episode description. All right, well, we have done plenty of metal tonight. So, Joey, tell me what the fuck we need to do.
Boom! Let's get our fucking mayhem.
Yeah!
Henry Lee Lucas, School of Etiquette and Refinement. How can I help you?
Well, hello, sir. I was looking to sign up my daughter for your young ladies program.
Oh, we love them young. Yeah. That sounds great. How old are we talking?
Well, she's 13, and we'd like to have her learn some nice southern etiquette.
13 is just right. There's grass on that field. She's good to play ball, we say around here. Does she have titties yet?
Excuse me? Did you just ask about her breasts?
Well, yeah. For that young ladies program, she needs to have some nice, perky titties and an ass we could bounce a quarter off of. Nice and firm. Then they'll learn real good.
Sir, you're making me a bit uncomfortable talking about my daughter like that.
Well, you sound pretty hot yourself. You want to come along? We could always use someone to jerk itis off while your daughter's being refined with her knees in her chest.
This is preposterous.
God damn.
What the fuck? Wow, that's a blast from our past there. 2019, the Henry Lee damn. Lucas School of Etiquette. Wow, I was the receptionist there. Joey's the caller. That was so funny.
That was
The old commercials.
2019.
So,
Jesus.
And you know what, guys? They're going to be able to hear that and all the other ones when they get a copy of Hysterical, Distasteful, and Stupid. Yeah. I mean, that's the perfect name for an album of Murder Metal Mayhem. And there's 38 of the old commercials on there. So, really, really funny shit. And putting it together now, we got a Bandcamp page that will sell it. We'll also be selling it on our website, murdermetalmayhem.com. So just keep listening. Once it's available, you're going to know, and it's going to be soon. So the perfect thing for the holidays, you know, give your Aunt Mabel a copy of Hysterical, Distasteful, and Stupid. All right. Mentioned Tomes of Terror, man. That was awesome. That event I was a part of last week at the Red Raccoon Games, and it went really well. And that was on Saturday. Yeah, so thanks to everybody that came out. Loaded with people. My PayPal app wasn't working for getting credit cards and debit cards. And I'm looking at this room filling up as the place opens, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I can't take debit or credit cards? Like, I'm not going to get any fucking sale. So I'm like scrambling, and it's telling me to download this other PayPal called Zettle. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm like fucking trying to do this shit. People are lining up and looking at books, and I got it to work. I don't even know how it happened. I pulled it together. And kick complete ass. So thanks everybody that came out. And I'll be there November, or I'll be at the local authors fair at the Peoria Public Library, and that's the North Branch, not downtown, on Saturday, November 4th, that's 2023, from 1 to 4. So there's a lot of good authors that'll be at that one. So if you missed Red Raccoon Games, which is a fucking cool store if you're into gaming and shit
like
that.
They got so much gaming shit.
They got so much stuff there, but
puzzles and all kinds of fucking shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. But before that, though, I wanted to mention this little mayhem that happened to me. Now, I went and listened to the episode, okay, because I was wondering, I was in my mind thinking it had to sound on my end, not your guys' end. On my end, that I was a complete it just sounded like shit. I thought in my mind, this is going to sound like shit, because I got to say, I was sicker than I have ever been in my entire life. I could not think of a time that I was that sick about halfway through. I didn't feel good coming in.
Right.
And I told you that, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I was here doing that, I got from bad to worse, like to the
point. Oh, I saw you start sweating really fucking hard.
Dude. I was like, something's really fucking wrong here. Like, I've never been this sick. Like, this is fucked up. And I'm wondering, like, do I need to go to the fucking hospital, you know, because I don't need to get, I mean, and I was getting my flu shot the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So I hadn't had the flu shot yet, so I was thinking maybe I got a fucking bad case of the flu. So anyway, we fucking managed to pull it off. Like I said, I listen back. I can't hear it. So it was the acting was there because I really had to pull it from somewhere because I felt so bad. Every part of me hurt. Like, it was awful. I went in the house, and I'm on the couch, and I'm fucking burning up. And I, not with fever. I was just sweating. And I told her, I was so fucking nervous. Like, I hadn't slept in like 3 days, but a couple hours every night.
Right.
Awful. Laying there, fucking can't sleep, get up, walk around. Like, I was completely out of sorts from Sunday to Tuesday night. Wednesday, I was just as sick. I had to call off the interview. That's how sick I was.
Yeah.
That interview I was supposed to do at ISU, I canceled that. And I laid in bed and I was throwing up. I mean, it was fucking terrible. And I was really concerned. But then I started easing up on Wednesday night a little bit. She gets home from work and we're talking and she's like, how long have you been out of that medicine? Now, the VA, I get all my medicine from them online. But the problem is that, and it's randomly, it seems, certain medications, once my refills are up, it goes off the list. I'm on so many different medications, I don't sit there and go down the fucking list with a checkbox and make sure I got them all.
Right, right.
If there's refills to be ordered, I order them and then they send them to me. Like, that's all I fucking do. Well... That is over with. I've set this on my phone now so I don't forget. One of the medications I'm on, which is Lyrica, which is a nerve, it's for the nerve pain I have for neuropathy.
Oh, I've abused Lyrica before.
Yeah, I've abused Lyrica before.
If I don't take that within a day, like my hands hurt so bad I can't do anything. So I was out of refills and it was Friday and I didn't have any in my medicine cabinet. So I had to go all weekend without it. And I'm messaging the VA to get me some because it's a Schedule C narcotic. So I can't go get another dot, which I tried to do because I didn't know that it was like that. My civilian neurologist wrote me a prescription for it. But then CVS is like, wait a minute, you get this from the VA. So we won't fill it. So anyway, I had never been without it for this many days in a row, but it was exactly in line with when I started getting sick. Right. So she looks up the withdrawal, the withdrawal symptoms, chills, nausea, nervousness, insomnia. I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Every fucking symptom you had.
Every single symptom, I had it. Every one of them. So this, though, Wednesday was when I was in the afternoon. I was starting to feel a little bit better. After I heard that, it was like a huge relief because I knew the medicine was coming on Thursday.
Right.
And right. I'm like, you know, I'm already starting to feel better. So, okay, I just start taking the medicine again and then it's a non-issue. And that's exactly what happened. Thursday at lunch, it came. I took one of them and... Thursday night, I ate supper like I normally would eat supper. But you know, last week, I couldn't even eat a Pop-Tart. I was
yeah,
so
that's
sick.
Fucking not good.
Yeah, that's just terrible to not want to eat a Pop-Tart.
How to get your fix.
I'm telling you, man, I have a whole new fucking appreciation for anybody that's fucking dope sick. I know this was not that, but it was on a lower level. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I've had 13 kidney stones.
Oof.
So I'm not like one of these type of dudes that like gets fuck a cold and is like crying and whining. Like, for me to say that I've never been that sick before, that is a fucking... I mean, I've been through fucking chemo and I wasn't that sick. Like, fucking horrible for like 3 days. It was a nightmare. I'm so thankful I'm over it. But... It was a real difficult episode for me to get through because I just kept feeling worse and worse and worse. So anyway, there's a little mayhem for you.
And you remember when we had to stop at the hospital in Springfield on the way to see Trash because you got kidney stone, bro? Or wait.
Yeah, that was fucking
cool. Kidney stones are awful. Man.
Dude, he's just like in so much fucking pain, bro, driving, and he was driving and shit.
Oh,
like
God.
Fucking the only one in the car with a license. So like Jesus.
The last Christ. Time I drove I was, to the hospital with kidney stones, I was seeing white flashes going across the fucking
oh,
road.
Yeah.
Cause I was in so much fucking pain. I pulled into the hospital and opened the car door and just collapsed on the fucking cul-de-sac, and the security guard had to rush out and get me. I was fucking pissing blood. It was fucking brutal, man. Wow, that's the worst. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, speaking of things that can get worse real quick, Killer Cage Match.
Killer Cage Match. Nice segue.
Listeners love it, and it's a good way for them to get involved, Chris, because we have a list of 100 killers, 100 objects for them to fight with, and the listeners help us decide who's fighting and what they're fighting with.
Yeah, once again, tonight we have the homie, Jeff Ignatowski. We got Colin 815 Posse Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
And Queen of the 419, Peggy Sue.
Fuck yeah. Speaking of 815 Posse, might come in here in February.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Trying to work that out with him. He's going to be down here for a class of mine.
Oh, right, right.
And so we're trying to coordinate that. So, Colin, I know you're listening. I'm anxious for you to come into Horns High and check this out. So, all right. So we got a great battle going on in the cage tonight, Joey. Why don't you tell us who's fighting tonight?
Well, we got Mr. Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah.
From fucking down in South America.
Guyana.
And he's going to be fighting. Yeah, Guyana. He's going to be fucking fighting from over in the moors, Miss Myra Hindley.
Oh, man. Yeah, she's not got Ian Brady at her side.
No, not this
time. She's got to be some tough bitch in the fucking joint, I would think. You know, just she looks like she would have fucking held her own in fucking prison. So she's pretty tough. So we got a good one there. And Chris, what about the objects tonight?
Tonight they have a can of bug spray.
Okay.
And a gun that shoots shards of broken glass. That's fun.
Yeah, that sounds like fun is right. I love this variable though, Joey. What we just talked about this guy.
We did. We talked about Everil LeBaron, so we got him inside the cage tonight. After giving a fucking wild fire and brimstone sermon.
Oh, so he's all fired up, sweaty, all fucking wild-eyed. Interesting.
And when you're fired up, you also have smoke.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got the song. Nice segue, Joey. Got some smoke on the water. Some... So here we go. We got Captain Kool-Aid, Jim Jones, going up against Myra Hindley with a can of bug spray, a gun that shoots shards of glass, and Everil LeBaron... after giving a wild fucking sermon, and the song is Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, where the fuck do we go here?
I mean, obviously, like we just said, it's just jam. It's just dun, 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 dun.
Fuck yeah.
Just fucking smoke on the water. Fucking Myra Hindley, she sees that fucking can. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of Maya Hindley. She fucking, her hair, dude, she thought that was a can of hairspray.
Oh,
she's
no.
spraying that all up in her fucking shit. Hair and shit. Fucking, oh man, it gets in her fucking eyes. She can't see shit. Fucking Jim Jones is looking over at Herbal. He's like, hold on, man. We don't have the same religion, but how do we combine our cults?
Oh, wow. I never thought of that.
What do we got to do to get all these people together and we can just kill them all at the same time? Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, shit.
Fucking, so they... Herbal and fucking Jim, they fucking sitting back, they're working something out, but they fucking forgot that fucking gun's still sitting there. Fucking Myra, she's got her eyes all cleaned out. She reaches over and grabs that gun, and she's like... I'm going to kill both of you because I got all these fucking kids I got to kill too. I'm killing them, not you. So she shoots both of them with the fucking shards of glass, fucking giving it to fucking Myra.
Okay. All right. Joey, what do you all think,
right,
dude?
All right. I think what's going to happen in this one, let's see. So when the bell rings, you got some smoke on the water just fucking blaring. Now everybody knows what's going on. The problem is that the fucking CD got stuck on repeat. Oh, no. So it's just going dent, dent, dent over and over and over. And somewhere in our fucking Murder Metal Mayhem audience, there's somebody just acting like Beavis the whole time going dent, 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 dent. So you just hear this. I'm not going to say it's Michael. I'm not going to say it's your brother,
it's
Michael.
Not Michael,
but it might be. Okay. So anyway, so we already got we got the music going. It's fucking crazy. The fucking place is pumping. It's live as fuck. Now, Myra Hindley, she knows that she's at a disadvantage because she's fucking, you know, a little more petite. Jim Jones, he's a pretty big fucking big dude. She's fucking really worried about what's going on. So her whole game is fucking dodge and move, and she's fucking going to wear out the big motherfucker like a Frankenstein.
Right.
But as they're fucking going, Jim Jones, he can't help but look over and see this motherfucker Everill over there. LeBaron, he's like, is this motherfucker preaching? Does he think he can preach? Oh. So from one side of the Killer Cage match, Jim Jones starts fucking laying out his prophecies to this motherfucker and letting him know the fucking deal. Everill, man, he fucking turns around, looks dead in the fucking glasses of Jim Jones. He's like, are you stepping to me with this fucking preaching shit? Because I'm about to fucking clean house with your ass, homie. And fucking Everill just starts fucking preaching the word of the fucking snake handlers. Fucking Jim Jones, he don't give a fuck about that because they had fucking pythons and boa constrictors in Guyana. He don't care about handling snakes. Snakes handle you down there, motherfucker. You don't even know. So as this is going on, and as the Beavis is screaming, dat, 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 in the stands, Myra Hindley's like, man, this is my only chance. She grabs the fucking, the can of bug spray and the gun that shoots the shards of glass. She fucking puts them together to create a gun that fucking automatic fire now, because she fucking hooked it up, and she fucking just sprays bug fucking infected DDT shards of glass at motherfuckers, and she just lights up Jim Jones and fucking Everill LeBaron like a motherfucker. She fucking kills the shit out of them, and that's how Myra Hindley walks out of this a winner tonight. Damn. Damn.
Damn.
Damn.
Damn.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, some killer cage match, always a favorite. I enjoy it too, and the listeners obviously do as well, so awesome. All right, Creation of Chaos 4, that's my short story collection. It's out now, so go to PeteAlteri.com to buy one. I got a web store, you can purchase that and my other books. I got a sale going on, so go do that, PeteAlteri.com. I'm also going to be doing weekly videos on another YouTube channel I'm getting ready to start for the writing side of things, but I'm starting with the Murder Metal Mayhem stuff. I'm also doing some cross promotion with Sick Rick Masks, and when you buy one of his new LaVey masks like we did, you get a free audio version of my short story One Night with the Blood Countess.
So, when you got the mask, did you get the free audio book?
It's funny. He actually emailed me and said, I know you already got a copy of this. It was pretty funny. I was laughing.
That's great.
Rick is great. So it's from the Creation of Chaos 4 book. But if you go to sickrickmasks.com, I link to that in the episode description. You can get a copy of that. Get any one of the masks that you want there. All right.
Let me say something I meant to say earlier, kind of in metal, but the Sick Rick thing kind of brought it up. My buddy Brian that did Syphilic, who I was talking about, I just played a show with, he's got the Albert Fish mask. He had that in his house when I went there.
Oh, right.
But anyway, fucking, I had seen pictures of him at some convention, I think, where he got it. Rick had pictures of him, and I was like, hey, that's Brian right there. Nice. But anyway, fucking, okay, man, I walked in this dude's house, Brian. Now, I knew that this dude was a fucking huge Metallica fan, right? Like, this dude is a huge fan. I didn't fucking understand until I went in this dude's house.
Really?
And he was, he said, hey man, I remember a while back I had shot him some fucking pictures of my tapes, and I had like the Creeping Death and the Jump in the Fire cassettes, the Music for Nations, which I still got them. And I was like all stoked. I was like, oh, check these out, bro. And he's like, oh, that ain't shit, you know? But anyway, fucking, I walk in this dude's house. He brings me in this room. I have never seen anything like this. He has a fucking wall-to-wall, just like multiple shelves full of every kind of Metallica album, every kind of format. He pulled out this fucking box, and it was like 150 Master of Puppets CDs, all different.
Get the
like,
fuck out of here.
They were all different pressings, all the BMG pressings, all the Germany or whatever. And wow. He pulled up his fucking his Discogs or whatever, and he's got like all his shit fucking listed on there. And it's just, it's like thousands upon thousands of entries of nothing but Metallica.
Wow.
So anyway, I just had to bring that up because that shit like really blew my mind when I saw that. I said, what the fuck? He's talking about, he was showing me like fucking test copy presses vinyl of like Ride the Lightning and shit. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he was talking about like fucking, you know, some of the biggest ones he's sold, I think was like $3,600 record or some shit. I was like, what the fuck? And obviously there's other people in the world there, you know, even bigger than him.
Right.
But yeah, no, that shit blew my mind. I had to bring that up.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. Well, hell yeah. Well, I think we've done plenty of mayhem tonight, guys. So let's hit the fucking outro. Fuck yeah, man. Infestation from Germany, and that's the title track from the new album, The Vermin Within. Fucking beastly first album from those guys, so go check them out. Infestation, really killer.
Yeah.
Bumper music tonight, Joey, who did we play?
Infestation, Eradicated, and Chris did the segment on fucking Wham!
Fucking Wham! First fucking blood.
They reminded me a lot of Propane, which I really like. Propane,
right?
That hardcore metal stuff. Definitely, some of it I like, some of it I don't like. But that was cool. Big thanks to Tex and that 10-gallon hat of his for coming on with us tonight. Always great to get him involved, especially when we're doing a Texas case or a prison case.
Especially one that he was so close to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Very, very real reactions there from him, which always brings that air of believability to the whole thing. You know, love getting Tex involved in more stuff. I mentioned Shane and I getting more into maybe some interviews together and then possibly having him involved in some way with the 666 Seconds of Metal show that we're doing. But the Eradicated interview, I hope, is coming together soon, and that God Slut interview as well, and keep you guys posted on that. The metal segment intro, Chris.
Fucking Great Metal, yeah, what the fuck? The Great Metal Motherfucker by Crysix. And I ain't even drunk, dude. Shit. Comparatively.
And the Murder Metal Mayhem intro music is Crawl Space by Low 12. Thanks to everybody out there listening. We keep seeing those numbers and just comments and just very cool, very humbling. And we appreciate it very much. And so, Chris, why don't we read a few?
Yes, sir. We got fucking Minnie Mouse 666 says, at first, I thought you guys were fucking stupid, but after listening to a few episodes, you got me laughing my ass off. I love what you guys do. My boyfriend and I are big fans in Fort Myers, Florida. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Everybody thinks we're stupid. We are stupid.
Yeah. Well, that one lady said we were the Beavis and Butthead. Yeah,
when we first started, you guys are like the Beavis and Butthead of podcast. We took that as a compliment. So
that's right. That's right. Joey, how about... how about that second one, dude?
Second one is Benji Yorkshire 56 said, hello from Venice, Italy. I love your podcast. I'm a big true crime nut. I'm also a metalhead. The two go so well together. I agree with that.
I 100% agree with that.
And Benji there, my homeland of Italy. Very cool. Venice, Italy at that. All right, Dana Brown 779 comments. Murder Metal Mayhem is the best podcast out there. Been listening since 2020, and every week is fucking great. Please don't change anything. I love that you are keeping CK's memory alive every week. We all miss him. So fuck yeah. Yeah, thanks, Dana.
And this last one we got here says Jordan Loves Henry. Says, I love the Russell Williams episode you did, but who the fuck steals dildos? Shane is great to have on for those Canadian stories. You guys fucking rock.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, who the fuck's stealing this poor woman's dildos? She was very proud of that dildo collection, and that fucking prick stole them. Anyway, I agree, Jordan. That's just
that's
bullshit.
What she got. That was her vanity. That's what she got her karma. Right.
And she could have just gone and bought a fucking Richard Ramirez dildo from fucking Nico. At serialpleasures.com there. So go buy a Richard Ramirez or the John Wayne Gacy butt plug.
Oh, yeah.
What was that, Chris? They got your crawl space covered or something? It was pretty bad. So anyway, we're going to talk about that when we interview Nico Klo. I can't believe it. This Sunday we're going to be talking to him. So it'll be interesting. Check out murdermetalmayhem.com. It's our website. You can get some merch, like Joey mentioned, the t-shirts. Joey's distro, we got the link to that in the episode description. So if you want to get anything from him, you can get
a
hold of him.
And I also got a show coming up fucking October 27th in Dayton, Ohio.
Nice.
With Cum Soaked Corpses Leaking Rectal Discharge from Florida. So fucking
nice.
If any of our listeners from down there or Cleveland or somewhere close to Columbus or wherever the fuck, come out to that.
Sounds like a nice Christian band there. That's yeah. That's wonderful. All right. Like us on Facebook, at least our group, since they kicked us off there. Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to that YouTube channel. We got that Patreon if you want to support that. We appreciate all of you that do. And you can do that on our website, murdermetalmayhem.com, or by going to patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. All right, but we can't let him go without hearing a karaoke song, a little blast from the past, so crank this shit up. And until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
Keep your fist wrapped against the firing trigger.
Boom.
So many nights I'd sit by my window waiting for someone to sing me their song. So many dreams I kept deep inside me, alone in the dark. But now you've come along, and you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my days and fill my nights with song. Rolling at sea, adrift on the water. Could it be finally I'm turning for home? Finally a chance to say, hey, I fucking love you. Never again to be all alone. And you light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. You light up my day. Fill my night.
Mother, man.